Bruce Bakar, Climate Confessions. And this is episode 26 on Maiella Manassian's Tiny Climate Challenge Podcast.
I'm Maiella Manassian, your host on the Tiny Climate Challenge Podcast. This is a podcast for busy people who want to save the planet by completing one simple eco challenge at a time. Let's do this. Please visit tinyclimate.com to access all episodes, show notes, freely subscribe, and contact us.
Now, for the first time in my life, I truly believe my dreams are possible,
Hi, everyone. My name is Maiella Manassian, and I'm your host of Tiny Climate Challenge. The topic of our podcast today is all about confessing our climate sins. Is that right, Bruce?
I would love to talk about that. Let's go for it.
Awesome. Okay. I've invited Bruce Bakar, my friend, colleague, physician, and climate activist, to share all our climate confessions. So welcome, Bruce. Why don't you take a moment to introduce yourself and tell us what inspired you to get involved as a climate activist?
Hello, May. It's a pleasure to be here. I have heard a lot about this podcast from lots of people, and so it's really cool to join you, and plus which I like hanging out with you anyway, for whatever reason. Basically, what she said sums it up. I delivered babies for 25 years, and I got more and more frustrated seeing their lack of response on climate and how much it was impacting not only the oceans that I love to get into because I like to surf, but also my concerns about the health impacts of climate change. And so I have been getting progressively more involved, and I stopped seeing patients and papping smears back in 2013. I'm a reformed gynecologist now. I'm in phase two of my career where I do a lot of writing and speaking about primarily about climate and health. And I work with a number of nonprofits, both locally in San Diego region, but also nationally, organizations like Climate Reality Project, Environment America, Eco America, Medical Society Consortium on Climate and Health. There are so many out there now that are doing great work, and I've been very pleased to help further their goals in whatever way I can. So anyway, we're not going to talk about climate and health today. Generally, we're going to focus in on us, climate activists, people that are concerned about climate change, and an area that Maiella and I have talked about more than once, which is how are we doing individually? Because our own resilience is very important to us achieving our goals in terms of stopping the climate crisis. We have to take care of each other and ourselves. And that requires some focus and effort because this ain't an easy lift we're involved with. Anyway, how's that for an introduction?
Beautiful. And I just wanted to add that we're talking about climate and our mental health, because a lot of the things that we do here do weigh heavily, or the things that we don't do that we know have an impact do weigh heavily on our minds. And in any case, I've heard from quite a few people actually that have reached out and said, I'm struggling with this and how do you handle this? So we will definitely get into all of that. I also just want to add that you are one of my personal climate heroes. I'm always just so amazed and inspired by the incredible work that you do. He's rolling his eyes, folks. But I wouldn't be sitting here where I am today if it wasn't for you, Bruce. And I honestly mean that. And I just want you to know how grateful I am to you.
Maiella, you are one of my inspirations. Your energy and enthusiasm and ebullience and nonstop smiles are kind of part of what we're talking about today, because what we're talking about, as you so correctly specified, is our emotional and mental health. When you take on a task like being a part of solving the climate crisis, it does weigh on people. There are various terms that have been created to express the feelings that people have around the climate crisis. One of them is eco-anxiety, which I definitely experience myself from time to time, just this sense of dread over what we keep hearing about another hottest month on record, or another record heat wave, or fires that are burning millions of acres at a time. It's hard to listen to this information, and maybe not hard, I would say it's impossible to hear that information if you care about nature and understand our connection to the natural world. You can't hear this stuff without being affected by it.
Yeah.
But I think one of the missing ingredients in the climate movement is self-care on an emotional level. And I think it's a really worthwhile topic.
Yeah. So why don't we dive right into that? I was just curious, what do you do to take care of yourself when, as you said, many of us have experienced this eco-anxiety or eco-grief?
It's a perfect question. I want to, first of all, make sure it's clear that I'm not a mental health expert. My opinions are my own based upon my own experience. And also, I've talked with some mental health professionals that are in the climate movement. Lise Van Susteren comes to mind. She's a psychiatrist, MD, in the Washington, D.C. area and has had a huge impact on our climate movement and talks about the mental health aspects very articulately. And from my experience in knowing her, she understands this firsthand as well. I think, again, we're all affected by this. So in answer to your question about what I do, here's the thing. If you deal with the climate crisis, it doesn't mean the rest of your life stands by and stops throwing curveballs at you. A lot of other things in life can be stressful. In addition, we have our personal lives, whatever financial stresses we might have related to the pandemic, just the stress of this pandemic itself and the isolation that it unfortunately necessitates are significant things. There are always personal challenges, illnesses, and things like that can come along. And if you've got in the background the fact that you're working on the climate crisis and that you are holding this information close to you on a regular basis, there's just every reason in the world to think that it would cause anxiety and even depression from time to time. Anyway, to answer your question, I do things similar to how I take care of other sources of stress in my life. I exercise. I think endorphins are a really valuable thing. It's a win-win because not only do I feel more resilient after doing some kind of a workout, but it also generates these chemical endorphins that are essentially like taking an antidepressant without any side effects. And so I try to get a dose of that every single day.
Surfboard behind you.
Yeah, there are several in and around the house, and most of them get wet from time to time. Being in the ocean is a huge thing for me. I've been surfing since I was 15, and I'm really lousy at it. But I absolutely love it anyway, because as long as I don't injure myself, I always come out of the ocean feeling better than I did going in. There's just something about being in nature and being surrounded by the beauty of the ocean and being reminded also, it's a sort of a perspective lender that it always reminds you that whatever issues going on in your life is not the entire world. So it's a great reminder of that. And again, there's the endorphins from the exercise. I also find it's really helpful to eat meals that support my physical health as well as my mental well-being. So I eat a lot of local and organic. I eat mostly vegetarian. I eat meals that are generally pretty light because when I eat heavy meals, I get really tired and that can contribute to feelings of being sad or depressed or anxious. But I eat healthy and that tends to make me feel better.
Yeah, we just enjoyed a very healthy lunch together.
Yeah, we didn't even have to pay for it, which is a whole nother story. Dash, we just made him feel guilty about poor service. Next thing, we had a free lunch.
I'm glad you clarified, but those were some delicious tofu tacos.
Yeah, exactly. So there's plenty of reward. And as I say, it also feeds us physically and helps support our physical well-being, which is a big part, I think, of getting through any stress, eco-anxiety included, is having your health and your body working with you. And that just takes, I think, consistency. You don't have to be perfect. I still will admit to an occasional donut or dark chocolate Dreyer's ice cream bar, but they're far and few between. For the most part, I eat really healthy, and I think that is good. Another major category of providing resilience, I think, is relationships and support.
Yes.
So talking to my friend May and all my other eco peeps, getting a chance to vent and talk about not only stuff I'm worried about, but also the little successes that we have and celebrating those and taking a moment out of my day and thinking, gosh, that was pretty cool. I just was on a Zoom meeting with some really powerful people and we're talking about moving forward on this particular issue regarding health and climate. And I'm really happy to be a part of that. How neat is it that my life now includes stuff like that on a regular basis? So taking a moment out to actually, I don't know if celebrate's the right word, but to acknowledge the contributions that we're making, no matter how small, and the fact that we're working towards a better future for everyone is something that, what a wonderful gift. I think of these, you know, I'm going to get partisan here for a minute, but I think of the Republican Party and how it's drifted off into such, to me, such greed and selfishness and short-sightedness and anti-science-ness. And I really feel sorry for them because there's no joy there. If all you're about is trying to get all the extra gold toilets you think you'll ever need, if that's what your life is about, there is no cheese.
Not everything. Yeah.
There's no cheese down that tunnel. But there is tremendous joy. I have zero gold toilets. I don't want a gold toilet. Even if they delivered one to my door, if Amazon lugged it up here today, I'd send it back and never open it. Because happiness is in our social connections. It's in our experience in nature. Happiness is in building a future that works for all. These are not do-gooder things. They might be, but I embrace them because they actually make my life feel more fulfilled, and I'm proud and I have joy over these things. I think that's the way we're wired as a species, is that we find happiness through helping others. It's just part of our biology, I think, as much as it could be our ethics or morals. I think it comes out of our basic biology too.
Yeah. It reminds me of this meme that I saw where there's these two people and one of them is holding a jar of happiness and the other one says, "Where did you find that?" And then the one holding the jar says, "I made it myself." So it's also self-created. And that's one of the things that I love about hanging out with you, is that you bring so much joy into my life just because the goofy things that you say. So that's another thing that I think you should add, is how, you know, you're a comedian. You say the funniest things all the time, and you just continually make me laugh.
One of my father's favorite quotes, one that stays in my mind always, is something I think is attributed to Mark Twain. And he said, "If you're going to tell people the truth, you better make them laugh or they'll kill you." And there's a lot of truth to that. And in fact, we don't know how this is all going to unwind and what wonderful or horrible things may be next around the corner, but we do have this moment and we're exceptionally lucky to be alive and to have a chance to contribute. And there needs to be joy in all of this as well. And I think there's plenty of reason for that. And there are small victories that we can celebrate every day.
Absolutely. And when I count my blessings, I count you a million times. So thank you for all the joy that you bring into the world. I was just thinking, like, were you telling these jokes while you're delivering babies too and doing your pap smears?
Absolutely. I've always said that when I was working, that if you can't make a woman laugh and you're between her legs, you're not very funny.
Oh my goodness. All right. He's not in between my legs right now, but he's still making me laugh. He's in between my ears.
We want to talk about another aspect of this too, which is acknowledging the dark secrets we have if we hold ourselves up as these pious climate activists and we're doing the right thing and we're all serious and all that. We're also not perfect about it. And I think that for some of us that weighs heavily, and it doesn't need to. And so if you'll allow me, I'll tell a little story about it.
Yes.
Yeah, I was invited to give a talk at the North County Climate Change Alliance. So a lot of syllables. Basically, it's an environmental group, a climate action group up in North County, San Diego. This was back before pre-pandemic. It seems 10 years ago. It was actually in February. But one of the things that I did with that group after we got through the heavy stuff about the updates about how the climate crisis is affecting life in North County, San Diego, and what we have unfortunately coming our way if we don't make some serious changes. What we went to after that is we pivoted and became a lot more interactive. And I started just talking about the fact that we don't have to be perfect about this effort. And each of us doesn't follow all the good things you're supposed to do if you care about nature. And it was really interesting to just watch the reaction in the room. Because I asked people I was wearing a dark gray shirt and I buttoned the top button, turned around my back to the audience, and I put on my my priest collar, which I just made out of an index card. And I turned back around and I smiled at them and I said, I'm here to take your climate confessions. And I put on a priestly tone and I just said, and actually I'd asked the organizer to have a couple of climate confessions in her back pocket so she could start us off. And she told a story. She said, what comes to mind for me is I was in the line at Whole Foods the other day and I had all this great local organic produce, but then I realized just before I got to the checkout stand that my blueberries were not only not organic, they were from Chile. They've been flown all the way here from Chile, and I felt horribly guilty. And I looked around and realized nobody knew, and I bought them anyway. And she just, the room cracked up because everybody can relate to that. And there was a woman who stood up and shared. She says, we have this old minivan, and it's from the 1990s, and we knew we should sell it because it uses all this gas. She said, I just couldn't get myself to part with it. And it's right outside and I feel terrible about it, but I love that car and we're still driving it. And so with each of these confessions, I made the sign of the cross, not like I know what the hell I'm doing because I've been in church fewer times and I've been to temple and I'm not Jewish, but I absolved each of them of their climate sins. And it was really just fun, to be honest with you, after what was otherwise a fairly serious presentation, just to have a chance to give people license to be, to care about the world and life and yet not be perfect about it. And I think that's part of maintaining and supporting our resilience as we go down this not short road, is to give ourselves this chance to not be perfect, to realize that doesn't invalidate all the other great stuff that we do. This is a process.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But, and this is such a big challenge that it's important to bring levity into our lives and the work that we do, because we have a tendency to take ourselves really seriously. But then because we do that, we don't give ourselves any breaks, especially when we need to. And I love, thank you for sharing that, by the way. You had shared the story with me before, and that's actually what inspired this podcast episode, because I had been thinking about doing something similar. I wanted to call it environmental hell, like all the things that we do that we're going to go to environmental hell for, even though we know better, but we like the woman who, you know, bought the blueberries anyhow. Sometimes you just want what you want, and it's the convenience factor. I actually was on a YouTube video with, I don't know if you've met her, Marina, the eco goddess. She's incredible. She came to my house because she wanted to do a zero waste kitchen makeover. And so I volunteered my kitchen, and I had this moment the night before I knew she was coming over. I opened the cabinets and I said, okay, let's see, what is Marina going to see when she gets here? And there was so much plastic in there, Bruce. And at this point, I'm at the, you know, pinnacle of my career as an environmental scientist. I'm on 6 boards and commissions, president of I Love a Clean San Diego, which is fully dedicated to being zero waste. And here I have a kitchen full of plastic, not only in my cabinets where we store our food, but in our refrigerator too. And we had bought the oranges that come in the plastic. And I think even we have a bag of avocados that were in the plastic mesh bags. And oh, it was awful. So I had a moment there where I said, should I throw this stuff out so that when she gets here, like it looks pristine and amazing. And I said, no, because that is going to defeat the purpose of her video and what I am meant to learn here and what others are meant to learn from me and the mistakes I've made. So the reason why I like to share this story with people, even though it is embarrassing for me, is that even as an environmental professional, I want folks to know that we all have room for improvement and we still have things to learn. When you mentioned your climate talk, I thought, this has been on my mind. So I'm so glad that we're here. So
there's another aspect to this.
Oh, no.
And that is that, and by the way, all of you can call her May May. It's not just,
you know, you're one of only 4 people on the planet. It's not going to be special anymore.
Not going to be 4 anymore. Not after today. That's good. But anyway, another aspect that you remind me of as you're talking about this, that when we acknowledge our own, I don't want to call them faults, but let's just say our lack of absolute spiritual perfection as climate activists. First of all, this is not news. I don't think any of us really believe that we're perfect anyway about anything. Life is a process. But here's the other part of it. there is a wide schism between those of us that are active on climate and those of us that are denying. And part of the necessary change that needs to occur is that we need to get into conversation and connection with more and more people who are not active on climate. And so the more that we can acknowledge to ourselves that A, we're not perfect, and B, that it's perfectly okay that we're not perfect as far as our own greenhouse gas footprint is concerned, the more I think we can have compassion and understanding and connection, a genuine connection with other people that are not nearly as far along that path as we are. The more we can understand how somebody might just really not want to give up their SUV. But if you dig a little deeper, you might find out that's not actually a completely a climate denier. They actually do believe in science. And I think, to be honest with you, everybody believes in science. Even Republicans believe in science because they use cell phones, they go up in airplanes, and when they get sick, they go to the hospital. They don't go to see a witch doctor. So they believe in science.
It's true.
Maybe they do go to witch doctors. That might explain a few things. But in any case, the more we can relate to them genuinely and not as an effort, okay, I'm going to hold my breath and not spew venom for a few seconds and listen to him talk. But the more I can relate to, yeah, I brought those blueberries home. He's really stuck on, he somehow has to have his SUV. The more we can connect on things like that, the more that we can, I think, discover that we have something else in common. Like we want the world to be better for our children. We want clean water. We want clean air. These are all things we agree on. So we don't want to get always derailed by what we disagree about. And I think the more we can acknowledge our subtle imperfections in our approach to life, the more we can identify with other people.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you brought that up because we do have a tendency to label everything in our lives. And oftentimes we place labels, good or bad, depending on how we feel about them. But the truth of it is, it just is what it is. And we're the ones that kind of overlay these feelings on top of these things and create the separation,
yep,
the separateness from ourselves and everything else. And we're truly all interconnected. So I'm so glad you brought that up. All right. Are you ready to make your climate confession?
I don't have any. I'm perfect. What are you talking about? Oh, boy. Yeah, I should have thought about this in advance. I am.
I can go first if you want.
Yeah. Why don't you give me one or two? I know I have three or four on the tip of my tongue, but go ahead.
Okay. Mine actually happened recently when I went to go visit you for lunch. So Bruce and I have been trying to find a time where we could get together. And our original plan was we were going to have dinner in downtown San Diego. I'm currently in Coronado. Bruce is in North San Diego. And so he has an electric car. So the plan was you were going to drive down and we were going to meet for dinner in downtown San Diego. And I was going to walk to the ferry and then ferry across the bay to meet you somewhere. But our plans got changed and you injured yourself. And so you said, why don't you drive up to me? So I actually have a car that I borrowed because I'm living here temporarily. And the car that I borrowed is a Ford F-150 pickup truck. Now, I didn't choose for it to be this make and model, but this is the car that was available to me. So, of course, for the most part, I have been walking and biking everywhere, but every once in a while, I have to get off this island. And so that has been my means of transportation. So I actually I got in the truck and I drove the Ford F-150 all the way up to your house in Del Mar. And of course, the whole time I was like, this is what our climate confession, this is exactly what this is about. I'm killing the planet just because I want to go visit my friend. I want to go see if he's okay, take care of him, go out to lunch, have a nice time with him, but at the expense of burning fossil fuels. So that is one of my most recent climate confessions. And I'm glad we had a great time and everything, but I do feel guilty.
Yeah, and actually, I deserve part of that as well, because I asked you to come up to me, and I knew you were driving a gas guzzler coming up to me for lunch. So I own that one, too. The other thing that brings to mind is that I had a time earlier this year where my energy level was really low, and I figured out that my protein intake was insufficient. And so I have been eating grass-fed quarter pound of ground beef once a week. which doesn't fit with my being almost entirely vegetarian, but it's been important in my recovery, and I needed to make that change to get protein in. And I have lots of other vegetable sources of protein, but once a week I do allow myself that. And I feel guilty about the fact that's the best dinner that I eat all week, because I make a lemon basil pasta with olive oils and this ground beef and all these delicious organic fresh vegetables. And it's a really good dinner. So that's another one for me. I also have two favorite surfboards, and one of them is a eco surfboard. It was made out of a blank that was created at UC San Diego out of algae. So instead of polyurethane, which is an oil-based blank, which is what surfboards are generally shaped out of 98% of the time, this is an algae-based blank. And all the materials, the fiberglass, the cloth that's used in place of fiberglass, and the resin and the pigment, all of that stuff is very green. It's got an eco certificate that came along with it. It was custom made. I had to wait 4 months for it. So that's one of my two favorite surfboards. But the other one is it's made by the same shaper up in Northern California. It's a beautiful board, but I bought it off the rack up in Venice and Los Angeles, and it's made of the regular oil-based materials. So I have one virtuous board and one typical oil-based surfboard. So that's another climate confession that I could make. There's three right off the top of my head. Again,
you're definitely going to environmental health.
Yeah, I'm definitely going probably today for all
that. No, that's far too harsh. So what can we do? What should we do about this? Do we forgive ourselves?
Yeah, first of all, take a deep breath and get over yourself. It's not about being perfect. It's about which side are you on, and not as though those two sides are mutually exclusive, but if you are fighting the good fight, if you are trying to stop the steady march of climate instability, if that's on your, if you take actions consistent with that, everything from what you wear and what you eat and how you decorate your home, there are so many ways to do this. And by the way, they're virtually all win-win and cost neutral, if not cost positive these days. So you don't have to be this pious, perfect individual to be part of the effort to stop the climate crisis. You can actually be somebody who really just wants to live a cooler, better life. You look at corporations, like I'm a big Apple fan, and Apple's making more and more of their products with eco-friendly packaging and recycling. I believe in supporting retailers and companies that are doing business the right way and voting with my wallet, or what used to be my wallet, now my apps on my cell phone, supporting those companies that are doing business right. So there's so many ways to do this. And then, of course, we all know, too, that it's not enough to just recycle and live green. You've got to vote along with these values at a minimum. And so if you haven't voted, and I don't know when this is coming out, May, but hopefully everybody gets to the polls safely or mails in a ballot or does something to make sure your votes are counted, and that you consider that a vote for health and science is a vote for climate. And don't vote for anybody that's not got their eyes open and they're willing to say that this is a true crisis that needs to be handled quite aggressively if we're going to stop the worst effects. So there's so many ways to do this. And as long as you're a part of that and then realize that everybody else is somewhere along that the way I look at it is everyone else is somewhere along that same path, because I don't think there's virtually anybody out there who doesn't want the world to turn out well and who doesn't want their children to be healthy and live better lives than they've lived. It's just a question of where you are in that spectrum. And I think by acknowledging our slightly less than perfect lives that we lead, we can better identify with those people that are not very far along on that path and help bring them forward.
Well said. Thank you so much, Bruce. I just want you to know that I forgive you. I love you, and I so appreciate you and everything you do for our community and for our planet. And I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today and share your thoughts on this very important topic.
Thank you. And I love you too, May, as we are bonded together on an effort that's bigger than ourselves, and it brings the best out of people. And I want to just remind all your listeners to forgive themselves for whatever climate sins they imagine they have, and accept your imperfections and embrace them And I can, I think, safely speak for Maymay and I. Thank you for what you do and what you believe. Thank you for acting from your heart and keeping others in mind, not just yourself. And I really want to remind you that every single day you look back and look at the things that you did and didn't do that were kind to the world and to life, and acknowledge yourself. Take a moment and acknowledge yourself and wrap yourself up in a hug or ask somebody near you, as long as they don't have COVID, to give you a hug. And remember that it's vitally important that you take care of yourself and that you love yourself as we go down this road together. It's a privilege. And thank God there is so much good to be done in the world. I think that's one another way to look at all of this. There's a lot of good that we can do from this moment forward.
Absolutely. And I'm giving myself a hug right now and I'm sending it out to all of you. All right, folks, I'm Maella Manassian, your host of Tiny Climate Challenge Podcast. If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts, or you can find me at tinyclimate.com. Remember that small changes can lead to big results in ensuring a tiny climate. Sending you all lots of eco love. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Now, for the first time in my life, I truly believe my dreams are possible.